Hi, welcome to the Curvy Culture Podcast. I'm Andrea Westbrook, and my mission is to create a world where everyone feels that they can thrive, regardless of their body size. I acknowledge the Yuggera and Turrbal nations as the traditional custodians of the land on which I live, work, and learn, and their continuing connection to the land, water, and community. I pay respect to them and their elders, past, present, and emerging. All content related to this program is for general informational purposes only and may contain stories and discussions about diet culture, weight loss, disordered eating, weight stigma, fat phobia, and anti-fat bias that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you are concerned about yourself or someone you know, please seek professional and individual help and support. Hello, my love. And welcome to the very first episode of the Curvy Culture Podcast. I'm Andrea, and my mission is to create a world where everyone feels like they belong regardless of their body size. In the Curvy Culture Podcast, I'll be bringing you a mix of solo episodes and some amazing guest interviews designed to help you start meaningful conversations about size inclusivity so you can influence change within your business, organization, or workspace and start creating more size-inclusive environments. Now, I know that this is a topic that's difficult for a lot of people to speak about. There's a lot of emotion and shame and stereotyping connected to our shape and size. So I really want to shine a light on what other people are afraid to say so that you can get comfortable with it. You can get comfortable with talking about this sort of stuff, using this language, and start to make genuine change. And I thought for the first episode, it would be useful to introduce you to a few key terms that I use throughout the course of my work. Why I believe we need to have this conversation. And of course, I'm going to sprinkle in some of my own stories and experiences for you. Today, I'm going to share with you, what exactly is weight stigma, anti-fat bias, fat phobia, and diet culture. You might be starting to hear these terms mentioned and not really understand what they are. So I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to share a bit of insight into how diet culture has influenced me. And I'm also going to share with you three things that you can do to lessen the impact that diet culture has on you personally. So let's get started. I remember in grade six, so it was probably about 10 or 11, hanging out with my friends on the monkey bars at lunch. We were at that age where talk had turned from Cabbage Patch Kids and the Chipmunks to Countdown, Boys, and Body Shape. It was the 80s after all. And that, I can really pinpoint that time as when I started to realize that my body was different, that it was bigger than the other girls. And even though I didn't have the words for it then, I know now that weight stigma was starting to impact me. So what is weight stigma and fat phobia and anti-fat bias? Now, I'm a little bit naughty and I use these words interchangeably. But essentially, what weight stigma and anti-fat bias is the assumptions, stereotypes, stigma, and discrimination that are applied to people who are considered fat. So when you see someone who's fat and you might feel sorry for them and think, oh, they must be really unhappy, that is an example of weight stigma, fat phobia, and anti-fat bias. Now, you don't even have to be fat to experience these things. Weight stigma occurs in employment, in the media, healthcare, you've probably heard that talked about a lot, education, it can be at home, within friendships, in intimate relationships, in sport, at the gym, supermarket, in politics, and in public facilities. Weight stigma is absolutely everywhere. And it looks like, and I'm going to share a few things with you, but it's absolutely not limited to these things. It might be, and these are the real examples that people have shared with me, being told to lose weight if you want a promotion, complimenting other people on their weight loss, inadequate seating options for people of all body shapes and sizes. It's being ignored in a shop. It's commenting on somebody else's eating habits and food choices without being asked. It's work uniforms and team clothes only being available to a certain size. It's not being able to buy clothes in a physical shop. It's jokes about somebody's body size. It might be jokes about your own weight gain. It might be jokes about the laziness you showed on a Sunday. It's being scared of gaining weight. It's the assumptions that are made about fat people, that they're sad, that they're unhealthy, unmotivated. It's using only thin people in your brand materials. And one of the big fallacies I want to share with you about weight stigma is that it doesn't actually motivate people to lose weight. In fact, amongst other things, weight stigma can actually cause weight gain, but that's a topic for another episode. As an easily influenced preteen girl, I hadn't even started my period yet. I so badly wanted to be part of the in crowd. The last thing I wanted was to stand out because of my body size. I already felt like I stood out because my mum was a teacher at the same school that I went to, and my parents were divorced, which was pretty rare at that time. I always felt like all eyes were on me. And a diet felt like the easiest thing that I could do to literally fit in. Exactly what diet culture, and we're going to get to that in a minute, wants us to believe. And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And I went on my very first diet. So let's assume I was 11. And I remember that I wasn't eating very much, and I was being quite sneaky about it. With what I know now, may have been borderline disordered eating, but I'm not sure. And I was very quickly rewarded because I lost weight quite quickly. And I can remember the feeling of all the positive feedback that I was getting at that time. And when I stopped that diet or stopped eating that way, all of the weight came back. And when I reflect now, I think, oh my goodness, what damage did I do to that poor little preteen body? I remember being really tired and lethargic and barely being able to stay awake by the end of school. But I was rewarded by everyone thinking how fantastic it was that I was losing weight and fitting in. So this was my first real exposure to the power of diet culture. And diet culture has been around for centuries. And it is the idea that we need to be thin to fit in, to be accepted. And it's largely fueled by the diet and wellness industries, who have massive marketing budgets that influence what we see in the media, telling us that we're essentially nothing unless we are thin. But diet culture isn't just about advertising. It's in the things that we do every day. It's in the comments that straight-sized people make, oh, I feel so fat. It's in diet and weight loss talk in your lunch break. It's telling people that you're going to need to work extra hard at the gym to work off that second piece of cake. And it's commenting on celebrity weight loss and weight gain. And even there was a time when we were seeing that sort of journalism in the news. It's also internalized. So it's when you tell yourself, when you put off things like, I'll buy that new dress when I've lost some weight, or I'll apply for that new job when I feel better about my body shape. You're essentially telling yourself that you're not good enough until you are thin. In Western society, diet culture is everywhere. It impacts everyone and invades every aspect of our daily lives, from what we eat to how we behave, even what we wear. And as I mentioned, diet culture got me really good. Even though I was struggling to stay awake in class, as my clothes got baggier and baggier and my body got smaller, I was celebrated more and more. And then, you know, I started eating normally and my body went back to its normal size. And then not long after, I hit puberty, and the obsession, both my own and other people's, with my body size. And so began a 30 plus year relationship of hating myself, of hating my body. and I'm going to share more about my own personal journey in future episodes. But today I really wanted to set you up to get the most out of the podcast and give you three tools so that you can use straight away to start lessening the impact of weight stigma and diet talk at home with your friends or in the workplace. So the first tip I'd love to give you is ditch diet talk. Stop talking about what you're eating, what diet you're on. Stop labeling foods as good or bad, because everything in okay is moderation. Food does not have a moral quality, and we do not need to apply a moral judgment to it. Don't comment on what anyone else is eating, especially if you want to tell them that you're worried about their health. I guarantee you're not. You're just influenced by diet culture. Now, if you're on a diet, my friend, that is perfectly okay. You do you. But keep it to yourself. And you don't know who you're influencing or impacting by your diet talk. My second tip is a big one, is stop complimenting people on how they look. Instead of saying, "You look great. Have you lost weight?" try saying, "I'm so happy to see you." Or, "I love your energy. I'm so glad you're here." Instead of saying, "That dress is so flattering on you," because flattering essentially means smaller, just simply say, "I love that dress. It brings out the color of your eyes." For children, instead of saying things like, "You're so pretty, you're so handsome, you're so cute," try saying things like, "You're so smart, you're so clever, I love how kind you are." And number three is watch your intake. Now, I'm not talking about food, I'm talking about what you focus on. So can you start to read some body affirming books and start watching body affirming media? There's lots of shows out there like Dumpling, the documentary Embrace, and you know, there's many great books out there. Watch size representative TV shows and movies. I've just mentioned a couple. Start listening to body friendly podcasts and curate your social media feed with bodies of all shapes and sizes, not just the thin ones. So, my love, this brings us to the end of the very first episode of the Curvy Culture podcast. Today, I've shared with you an overview, a very high-level overview of what weight stigma and diet culture actually are, and a little bit about how they've impacted my life. I've also shared with you three handy tips that you can implement today to change how weight stigma and diet culture impact your life. I believe that this is such an important conversation to have, because I know that so many people, especially women, hold themselves back from reaching their full potential because of their sense of self-worth being so tied up with their body size. As individuals, we can only do much to affect change in this space. We also need to break down the systemic barriers that prevent us from doing this, and I'm here to do that too. So thank you for joining me today, and make sure you join me for the next episode of the Curvy Culture podcast, where I interview social justice leader and CEO of the Beautiful You Coaching Academy, Julie Parker, where we discuss the business imperative of creating a size inclusive business. Thank you for listening to the Curvy Culture podcast. I love having you here. If you have enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe at your favorite podcast platform so that you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, I would love it if you could leave a rating and review. And don't forget to share it with a friend so that they can come and hang out with us too.